stand. I wanna be standing by your side. Holding in your hand. So let your kingdom come. Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea.
Let the worshipers
arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. Well, we've got something to sing about, don't we? We've got something to be excited about. We've got something to be enthused about. Not just some old dead manna that the world don't even want, but it's a manna that one of these days the whole world will want it. But aren't you glad we've got it right now? Aren't you glad God's done something for you right now? Give Him a big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Sing that second verse for me again, buddy. Let's sing it with all of our heart.
Father, I hear it growing louder.
Yes, we do.
The song of your redeemed.
Yes, sir.
As the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts it comes an anthem. For here our praises ring. This is a song. Song to the King.
Well, what a privilege it is to be back in the house of God tonight. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church tonight. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, buddy. How you doing? It's good to see you. God bless you. Hey, Brother Samuel. Good to see you, buddy. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Now somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh my goodness, we had 14 people said, praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, what a privileged people we are tonight to be able to come to the house of God. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer requests. We've got several we'll let you know about. Margie Odell, here's a prayer request on her behalf. Also a Debbie Milam, left arm, suffering numbness in her left arm. Just asking that we would remember that request tonight. Also Brandon Martin, I believe having some tests run. And they're asking that we would just pray that all would be well on those tests. So we just commit those things unto the Lord tonight. Brother Michael Probst says, I believe that the Lord has spoken to me concerning my situation. So I would like to thank him and the bride for their prayers even before the manifestation arrives. We praise the Lord for that testimony tonight. May God grant him the desire of his heart. Brother Charlie Therese is sick. Please remember him in prayer. So we want to remember Brother Charlie tonight as we pray. Brother Raymond Vega sends this in for Sister Lillian. Has pain going down her right leg. Now is suffering with flu-like symptoms. She is claiming her healing through your prayer. So we want to remember her tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of Sister Lillian. Please pray for Brother Darrell Ward. He just got back from preaching in the Yukon and is very sick. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Darrell Ward. Sister Elsie Miller called to thank everyone for praying about a recent request. God has answered prayer and she wants us to continue praying as one more issue needs to be resolved. Well, if he can fix one thing, he can fix two. And if he can fix two, he can fix them all, right? Amen. I want to pray for Brother Dwight Hall's father-in-law. They're expecting him to pass at any time. Also remember Sister Ann Hall and that family tonight as they prepare for the passing of her father. So let's remember those folks tonight. Prayer request for Sister Janet Payne's son, Bryant. Just commit that to the Lord. Ask God to move on his behalf. Sister Wanda Batman says she just wanted to give thanks to the Lord for touching Angie. She was allowed to go home on Sunday. The prayer request was turning on Sunday morning, so I appreciate the prayers of the saints. The Lord is so faithful, so we praise the Lord for that testimony tonight. Now, this is from Sean Williams. This is Sister Sean Williams, and I have to bear witness to what God has done for my family. First and foremost, I want to thank my Lord and Savior for bringing my family through this battle against the devil, because he is truly a liar. The charges against me have been dropped, and I am no longer having to deal with the false accusation that was put on me and my family. Please pray for my fiancé, Brian Duncan. He is still going through this trial, even though the charges have been dismissed. Please continue to pray for him that he will be released due to his innocence so he can remain with his family. Thank you again for your prayers. This is my third week of streaming Happy Valley, and I am a true believer of our last prophet, Brother William Branham. So we just commit that need unto the Lord tonight and ask God to move on their behalf. Thank you for what he has done. Sister Linda Jablonski says to please pray for her mother. She's really sick tonight with a sinus infection, unable to be in the service. Also, her sister needs healing in her body, and Sister Linda has an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Sister Judy requests prayer for Brother Junior that God will heal the nauseous that he's going through. We just believe God's able to do that for our brother, don't we? Amen. Brother Baker says that he wants to thank all of you for your prayers for him while he was out. Also want to thank you for the prayers for my family. I am doing much better. May God bless you all. So we praise the Lord for that. I want to pray for Brother Randy Babb tonight. He is home fighting a kidney stone. Also suffering with severe back pain. So let's pray for Brother Randy tonight that the Lord would touch him. Sister Charity Hubbard says to please pray for Ken Buckles and family. His sister crossed over yesterday afternoon, so we want to remember that family tonight as we pray. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about tonight? You believe we're serving a God that can heal, a God that can save, a God that can mend broken hearts, put broken hearts, make them get along in home situations. I believe we can do that by the grace of God, don't you? You believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight if you will. Brother Terry, come tonight and pray over these requests. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service. We'll commit all these things unto the Lord tonight. God bless you, buddy.
How many is happy to be in church tonight? That's about 62.5%. One day they're going to take this privilege away from us. And after about 3 or 4 weeks when you can't go to church, you're going to say, man, I really miss church. Man, I really miss church. Let's take advantage of it while we still got the doors open. Lord Jesus, we count it a great privilege to be back in the house of God. Lord God, I pray tonight somehow as we invite your presence. We pray, Lord, that you would, I say it many times, take the uppermost seat. What I mean by that, Lord, that our minds and our thoughts and our concentration, everything would be upon you. We don't want to sow or fix our tractors or cut trees down. We don't want to do any of those things tonight. We want to concentrate on you. We've come into this house to worship you and to think about you and to learn of you and give our all. Lord, this may be the last service that we ever get to attend. Lord, somehow, as the priest went in there and grabbed a great big hand of that fresh manna and that golden omer, I pray, God, that we're all kings and priests, that we can get a great big fresh handful of that fresh manna out of the golden pot tonight. Lord, to just anoint Brother Donnie to bring us, thus saith the Lord, the spiritual food in due season, the ever-present water from the rock. Give us those things that we have need of. We ask, Lord, I pray, Lord, for Brother Charlie Torres. You know his need. I pray that you'll just be with him and help him. Brother Darrell Ward is sick, coming back from the Yukon. Touch his body, Lord. Lord, what a real servant of Christ. Gone all the time. And Brother David, likewise, and different ones that stay on the evangelistic field. We pray for them. We thank you for them, Lord. Real soldiers of the cross. Lord, just administer your healing touch to each one of these requests that I hold in my hand tonight. Likewise, would you heal each one? May it be a testimony, Lord, of your grace. You're not a historical God, although you have been around all through eternity, but Lord, you're a God of today, a God of right now, a present day truth. Lord, Brother Dwight Hollis, father-in-law, you know the request, the need there. And each one, people raise their hands, perhaps an unsaved loved one, someone outside the ark of safety, maybe something in their body. Lord, we can receive healing tonight. We can receive salvation tonight. We can receive a refilling tonight. And those that's outside the ark of safety that's never been born again, we know, Lord, we must be born again to go in that rapture. Lord, if there's one tonight that's never received that new birth, give it to them, Lord. May they be so hungry that, like the preacher said, when you come back, you'll find my bones in this cornfield. There's got to be a desperation. The prophet said, we must get desperate of prayers. Bless the servants, the songs already, the exhortation, the preaching of the word. And when we go home, we say, it's been good to be in the house of God. We thank you for it, Lord. We ask these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us tonight in the service, we want to welcome you. All the brothers and sisters from around the world that's streaming this service, I pray this service will be a tremendous blessing to them. Let me make a couple of announcements real quickly. There'll be a trustee meeting tonight after service, so remember that. A trustee meeting, is that in the men's nursery? Okay, in the men's nursery. So remember that. Now let me make mention one more time. And we won't do this again because it's going to be happening this coming weekend. But there'll be a drop-off household shower. That's for Brother Gene and Sister Linda Cress, who lost everything in the house fire on this coming Sunday, the 22nd, when that shower is going to be taking place from 3:30 till 5 at the church fellowship hall. There'll be a table set up in the fellowship hall for gifts dropped off during Saturday and Sunday services, September the 21st and 22nd. They're registered at Walmart. Drinks and desserts at the shower. If you got any questions, see Sister Deanna Glenn. Anyone wishing to donate larger household items, please call the Cresses. Information is on the bulletin board. So remember that announcement. Let's rally to the needs of our brother and sister. And I believe God will bless us for that. Don't you? Certainly he will. Let's sing a song tonight. You know what? I've decided one thing. I'm going to make it. Are you going with me? Are we going? How many of you believe you're going to make it? Yeah. Not just to hope so, but I'll tell you what, I believe that I am believing something that's going to cause me to make it. In spite of my sorry self, God's going to do something in my life. I am going to make it. Look at somebody and say, are you going to make it? Praise the Lord. After all, this life is over. And my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain top so cold, looking over in that city
sing that chorus again. Oh, after all, this life is over, and our burdens have been lifted, and we stand.
Sometimes many, and oft times my feet grow weary, till it seems I almost stumble.
I'm going to let you be seated tonight. Brother Jackie Benton's here. He's going to come give us a song. And I want him to just, whatever he's got on his heart, if he don't have anything, his trademark son will be just fine. But we certainly appreciate Brother Jackie. He stays so busy all the time, preaching the word of the Lord. And I believe Brother Jackie's getting, how old are you now, Brother Jackie? 80 in February. Give him a nice hand tonight. God bless you, buddy. I love you, honey.
We never get tired of the blood of Jesus Christ. Sing it about it, witness about it, talk about it. Amen. Let me just say this. I was at a church just recently. The pastor's wife was telling me. She said she went to the music store. And a lady came in, and the boy there waiting on the customers asked and said, "How's your church coming along?" She said, "It's dwindling. The young people aren't coming out." And so he said, "Get rid of them dead songs about the blood. Get some music in your church. Get some music in your church." Said, "Our church is growing. I'm the youth leader, and our church is growing. We've got some music in our church. The life is in the blood, and when you do away with the blood of Jesus Christ, you do away with the life of Jesus Christ." Isn't that right? How many is glad for the blood tonight? Amen. I have a source of strength when I am weak. Amen. It helps me through when life is pressing me. Amen. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love. Amen. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious bloodstains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious bloods. I love this verse. I do not know how others make it through, who never go to Calvary as I do. For there's a healing, cleansing stream that flows with a peace that only His redeemed can know. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious bloodstains were better just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious bloods. That's your testimony tonight. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious bloodstains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious bloodstains. When I need healing, I just claim those precious bloodstains. God bless you.
thank God for the blood. Amen. Book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 13. Titus, chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Peculiar people. Now that's not human oddity. That's not us trying to make ourselves odd and peculiar. But we're made peculiar by his purchase, to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's a person that's been born again, ain't it? There ain't nobody can say it like the born again can. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Amen. So the dearly beloved can have something in their soul that the flesh lusts against and wars against. That's what the Bible says. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, this world is not our home. Not in its present condition anyway. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. I want to speak to you tonight on a peculiar people. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Yes. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be in the house of God again. Lord, still just rejoicing and feeding on the services this weekend, your presence so great on Sunday coming among us. It's one thing for people to say something. It's one thing for us to do our effort and everything that we can do. But it's another thing when you come in. Yes. Amen. And you do things that none of us could even think about doing. We always want you to be welcome at our church, Lord, to where you can manifest yourself among us. We love the word, we love doctrine, we love all of those things. But without your presence being among us, what would we be? Yes. Oh Lord Jesus, don't never leave us. Stay with us, stay near us, Lord God. Speak to us tonight, I pray from your word, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, you may be seated. I realize for people that maybe don't study the scripture very well, for those who do not look at the Bible as being God's own reflection of what he himself desires, they look at the Bible as many as a compilation of men's ideas, men's opinions, men who wrote this and that and the other. They're not really sure if it can be trusted, if it can be believed, if it can be taken as really the Word of God. I could see how they would really struggle with understanding why God would want his people to be a separate, different type of people. For those who would not understand his character, his nature, and the way that he himself is, then for them to try to read his book without understanding his character, they're going to get a total different view than someone who understands his character and then reads the book. So when we read the book and we know that we must have the spirit of the author in our lives really to, in order to understand it, a person could be a great a theologian. They could be a person who read the Bible and studied the Bible, knew the Hebrew, the Greek, the Aramaic, all the languages. They could explain all of that sort of thing. But really, if they don't know the author, they still don't know what his will is and his makeup. They will read it, but from a intellectual, knowledgeable type of perspective. I have nothing against that now because that has its place. But yet, that's not the way we know God. We don't even know God by knowing his word. We don't know God by knowing this message. We know God by being born again. Now, why is it then that God, as we've been dealing with dress for several weeks and talking about it, why is it that God would want his people to be different in the first place? Why would he ask and demand and require that his people would not only dress different and look different on the outside and have a different appearance, but that their spirit would be different, their makeup would be different, the places they go, the places they associate with, and all of that? Why would God even want that in the first place? Is it the nature of God to be that way? Or is it that preachers have concocted this idea somehow? That really, it doesn't matter to God whether you are separate or peculiar or different. Is it some men's ideas that they just read in there and took a scripture and added this and took another scripture and fashioned and took a fashioning tool and reshaped God altogether? And they've made God this picky sort of a fella, you know, that he's really not that way at all. Or is God very picky? And on the other hand, people have taken another fashioning tool and reshaped him to make him where he's no more than just a modern day Laodicean. Now, truly, his word should define who he is, should it not? We should be able to look into the Bible and be able to find out God, a very, very good view of the way God is. Now, whenever we look at the Old Testament, we know that the Old Testament is a shadow or a type of the new and of that which God was going to fulfill in a greater way. Let's read, if you would, in the book of Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now, what we're going to find is that God commanded Israel to be a peculiar type of people. Notice the scripture. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. But now notice this treasure, this peculiarity which is going to be identified with these people is not just a gift that is bestowed upon them and they have absolutely nothing to do. But there is conditions. Notice the condition. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. So this is not something that God is going to give them. I'm going to give this to you and you can do whatever you want, live however you want, say whatever you want. It won't even matter. I'm going to do this for you just because I want to. That's not the covenant that God gave to them. Now, they were going to be a peculiar treasure, which is a costly possession acquired with exertion and carefully guarded. The special relation which Israel stands, taken out of the pagan world and consecrated to God as his slaves, subjects, and children, determines their privileges. It is the foundation of their duties. Now notice, it's not something that he's going to give them and they're just free to do anything that they want to do. But if they obey his word, they will be a peculiar treasure. He will call them out, a treasure that will be thoroughly acquired, a treasure that will be guarded, a treasure that will be watched over. But they must keep his word in order to maintain this special status. Now, if they don't keep his word, they lose that status. You understand? So God then demands obedience to his word, or the special status given to the called out people will be forfeited and he will put it upon another people. Is that right? Psalms 135 verse 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. The Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. So God can choose whoever he wants to choose. That's not me. So God can choose a certain people, and that's not respect of persons. God don't have respect of persons. He has respect of seed. Nothing wrong with that. Glory. Now watch. The Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Now the word here, rendered treasure, means that which is acquired property, wealth. They are what God possess. Now watch the way God is going to identify them. Now let's look at a few things then of actually what the people of God were in the Old Testament and see how that it ties together with the new. May God help us that our understanding will be enlightened and be broadened upon the perspective of why God wants us in this day to be a separate people, a called out people. Now, does that mean that we're going to get a farm somewhere and go over to Amish or the Mennonites or that sort of thing? No, that's not what the Word even teaches us to do, that sort of thing. We will be in this world and we will be around this world, but we will not be a part of this world. Which is a greater victory, actually, than just going over and living somewhere by yourself. Now, God's people are going to be different. They always have, and they always will be. And God has degrees of separation. Now, this is one thing about the people of God that especially the modern day people do not want to hear. And as a matter of fact, most of them will not comply to it. They'll laugh at you, make fun of you, whatever. But that's entirely up to them. If they don't want to go that way, I have no problem with that. But for myself, I want to be what God wants me to be. And as long as I'm the pastor of this church, this is the way I'm going to preach it, because this is the way I see the Word declares it. Do I expect everybody to do it? I don't. I don't even expect everybody in this church to do it. But I do know the elect will. Because the elect are part of the Word. The others cannot. I feel sorry for them because they may admit it's the truth. They may say, yeah, I know it's right, but I just can't do it. And many of them are telling the truth. They cannot do it because they're not really part of the Word. To me, that's really sad. Now watch this in Exodus chapter 33 verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people, Moses talking, have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Now look at this word separated. To be distinct, marked out, be separated, be distinguished, to make separate or to set apart. Now here is the children of Israel being called out of the land of Egypt, and they are to be a separated people. Now here is Moses, their prophet, and he is praying to God saying, Lord, how can we do this? You're the one who called us out and we are going to be a separated people. Now remember, they were the people of God until they were called out. Then they become the church of God. So now they move into the dispensation of being church. So they have a relationship with God now in this dispensation that they never had in the land of Egypt. So their separation from Egypt now thrusts them into a deeper relationship with God. Now, in the land of Egypt, they didn't have to do the commandments. They didn't have to do the Sabbath. They didn't have to do many, many things. So it wasn't like that God just brought them out and dumped all of these blessings and they don't have to do any. Oh, no. They have all kinds of commandments. They have all kinds of ordinances. And with these blessings comes more requirement to obedience. Now, this is where we have problems. This is where the flesh has problems, because we want God to dump out all that heaven has on us, but we don't want to do any more than what we did when we were sinners. Folks don't want to live right, then we'll read the Bible, then we'll go to church, on and on and on and on and on. We talk about all these things. But the real elect, the reason they are different even beyond the normal called out church people, is because that don't satisfy that hunger in their soul. They want to do what God said, no matter how hard it is on the flesh. Now, the others will look for excuse. They'll look for ways out. And if they sit in a church or they preach too hard, there's enough around anymore, they'll find a church that'll let them do what they want to do. You know, the church is in the message now. They preach that women can get married again. And preach that men can get married as many times as they want to. Just live any way you want to live. You know what? Folks, they ain't going to get that here. So what do? They'll find them another church that'll let them do what they want to do. But when you stand before God, them same scriptures that you would not listen to when I preach them will meet you there at that day.
The same quotes that you don't want here because you don't like the way I preach, them same quotes will be right there and it'll be flashed before you at that day. You'll not get away from it. You can get away from me preaching it. You can get away from these other brothers here at the church saying it. I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm leaving. You can do that. But you will not get away from it at the day of judgment. So if we're going to meet it, why not meet it now and let's obey it and move on? Because it'll be right there waiting for us at the day of judgment if we don't do it. Now watch, God is going to add this peculiar identity to them. And as Moses said that there shall be a separated people, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Now we know that spiritual marriage to God has many comparisons and many likenesses to the natural marriage. Now, whenever a man and a woman, a boy and a girl, a young man and a young woman, that they fall in love, first it starts with liking each other, and then they go deeper and deeper, and they feel like it is moving beyond the light into love, and then they fall in love with each other. In order to really have a true marriage, and based upon something that will last, that marriage is based upon love and trust and all that, but there must come with that marriage also separation and consecration. Now, the man and the woman both will be required to separate from certain things. Now, the woman will have to separate from her mother and father. If the man, you know, they live in Georgia and the man wants to move to Happy Valley or wherever he wants to move to. And sometimes the woman has to leave everything that's true and dear to her and she will have to separate. The woman will lose her maiden name. She'll no longer be called by Schroeder Smith or whatever it was. But she will take on her husband's name, true? Unless she's a modern Laodicean and then they keep their own name. But if she's a true submissive woman, then she separates from her name. Amen. And it's not only just the woman separating, but the man also must separate. Now, up to this time, both of them have lived a separate type of life, not a married life. They've lived an individual life. So they will both begin to separate from their life just being wrapped up in themselves. Now, if the man wants, he's a night owl and he sets up till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and then that's what he's used to. And he wants to get up 10 the next day, and the woman's used to going to bed at 9 or 9:30. You know what? They're going to have some arrangement going on in that house. Either that or get another rooster. The rooster ain't going to know what's going time to cluck to crow by. Now, so both of them are going to have to give up. It is what? Separating from those things that they have learned and grown. You follow me? Now, they are going to separate even sometimes with the amount of time that they're able to spend with friends. Why? Because you want that person, they're married to you, not their brother and uncle and neighbor and all that sort of thing. So in true marriage, there is a separation and a consecration. Now, in the Old Testament, whenever a man would take a woman, a Hebrew Jew, then he would say in the vow, I take thee unto me, and thou art separated unto me, unto the law of Moses. Now watch what comes with that. Then the woman had to separate from her father's house, had to separate from her own things of what she would want to do. Same with the man. Now they merge together and those two become one. So true marriage requires separation from a lot of things. But if you're going to separate, then you must consecrate. So separation only leads to consecration. So a person then, a man and a woman who come together and they become married and they live their individual lives. And once they are married together, they're no longer just individuals, but they are now one person. So their motives or objectives in time will merge together into one. Is that right? They will merge together into one, and they are no longer living just an individual life. But they are separated from many things that they did, things that they liked, and they are now consecrated to each other. Now this is the part the mystical body of Christ enters into that the average church person knows nothing about. Now they want salvation, they want all the merits of God, they want all the blessings of God, but they never enter into separation which leads to consecration. Now, would any of you men which are looking for a wife, would any of you enter into a marriage or an agreement with a woman which told you right up front, now look, I like you and I want to marry you, but I want about 5 husbands. Or at least boyfriends. And you can be my husband. You can pay the bills and you buy me a new Cadillac and you give me unlimited money to go out on dates. But I need 5 or 6 men in my life. One man just can't cut it for me. I just can't have it. I'm going to tell you one thing. If Carol Jean Smith had told me that, she wouldn't be Mrs. Donnie Reagan tonight. Would any of you want to marry a woman like that? Would any of you sisters, if you get serious about a man, say, now look, I love you and I want you to be my wife, but I want you to know one woman cannot satisfy me. I need at least 14 girlfriends and 3 more wives. I got to have 57 young ones. I mean, look, this is just the way it is. Would you accept him? Not unless you're an absolute imbecile. But yet, we think God will accept us when we embrace the world. We embrace all kinds of different things, and yet we want him to be our husband. We want him to be our savior, our rapture power, our redeemer, all that sort of thing. But God, don't you tell me how to live. Don't you tell me what I can wear, what I cannot wear, kind of music I listen to. Ain't nobody telling me what to wear. Can't you see why people won't make the bride? Why? Because they want God to be their husband, but they want the devil to be their lover. Well, glory. You say, it ain't nobody telling me what to wear. Even if you join the army? What about the Marines? What about the Air Force? What about the Navy? What about just working at McDonald's? What about working at Lowe's? When you go into Lowe's, they make you wear, if you're working out on the floor, they make you wear a red vest with a Lowe's name on it. Why? So people can identify you as a Lowe's employee. And if you need help, you know who to look for because of their clothes. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't all the branches of the military just wear camouflage muumuus? Why don't the Army and the Air Force and the National Guard and all of them dress alike? Each one of them have their own types of hats. Each one of them have their own type. Come on now, is this true? Why is it that we represent it? Certain church schools require, even certain public schools require uniforms. Carol and I was down in South Carolina a few weeks ago with Brother Fred's, and we went into a place, our garment store, at Burlington Factory Outlet was the name of it. And it was amazing. You see this entire section of kids' clothes, and it's uniforms. Girls' dresses and boys, all blue, all the same color. And I thought, I love it. I absolutely love it. So in order to go to that school, you got to dress in a uniform. Well, in order to go to in the rapture, you got to dress in a uniform. You know what? You don't get to choose how long it is. You don't get to choose the color. God is the one who chooses how his bride dresses. Now, if you don't want to wear it, perfectly fine, but you're not going in the graduation if you don't. Now, watch this. Whenever a man and woman then enter into this natural union, they lay aside many things about themselves. They must in order to make it a real marriage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, Paul says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. So what do we see? A joint responsibility. So marriage is not just about the woman doing everything the man wants. And it's not just about the man doing everything that the woman wants, right? The woman, the wife, has not power of her own body. Well, that sounds like an awful lot to forfeit, don't it? Just to become married? Just to become a wife? You actually forfeit the power of your own body? What about to be the bride of Christ? Don't you forfeit the power of your own body? I'm glad I forfeited the power of my own body to him. That way when I get old and my teeth fall out, and if I have to go by the way of the grave and rot and go back to dust, I forfeited the power of my own body and he'll raise it up again. But if I keep it, then it's left up to me to raise myself, which I can't do. Now watch, the wife has not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise, also, the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Now, you men, come on now. My, Defraud you not one another, except it be with consent for a time. Now this is family relation. So it is not just that the man is the one that everything works around, but it is actually consensual behavior that must be harmonized together, even in the marriage. Now this is a natural marriage. What about the spiritual marriage between Christ and the bride? Now he said, defraud not one another except to be with consent for a time that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again that Satan tempts you not for your incontinency. Now watch in verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness, he that is unmarried care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. I just knew when I read that scripture, some of you sisters would just shout. Now notice the same word cosmos, which is world order or divine order, it can be. A man that is married cares for things that are more natural, temporal, how he may please his wife. How many of your brothers concern yourself with pleasing your wife?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm taking a marriage series right now. Brother Gene said you try, huh? Okay. At least you get an A for effort. Now watch, we know this isn't sinful things. Look at verse 34. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now, is she to go to worldly means? Absolutely not. But she will think in a different way than an unmarried woman. She will think in terms of more having the house and doing this and doing that, as the man will. The man will think in more the terms of trying to be a greater husband and make a more harmonious marriage. And the unmarried man, he don't have to worry about that. He's got plenty of time to sit around and be lonely. For the trade-off, there ain't no comparison as far as I'm concerned. Now, whenever you look then, that your God anoints Paul to bring in the peculiarity of marriage in the natural sense in order to reflect the peculiarity of marriage in the spiritual sense. So then if God reflects that a man forfeits an element of power over his own body when he becomes married, and a woman forfeits an element of power over her own body. You see, friend, many of us get it in our mind that men are the ones around this message anyway, and this whatever they say is law. Well, glory. You need to reread the rest of these verses here. Glory to God. If I wasn't leaving for Ohio after church, I'd start a revival tonight. Now, watch how God runs this parallel that the people of God are consecrated. They are sanctified, set apart, and they are consecrated to Him. So then if he would see them put on something or do something or say something or go somewhere that displeased him, if she is truly his bride, she forfeited the power of her body to him when she accepted his union. You understand? Now this is not so for every so-called Christian. This is not so for every so-called believer, every church person, but I'm talking about those that are married. Now, you sisters can say whatever you like. If you don't like this shirt, with this time, with these pairs of pants, I really don't care. Carol picked it out. And if Carol liked it, that's good enough for me. Or you say, I think it'd have been better. Tell your own husband, don't tell me. You don't have no power over my body. Praise the Lord. So when Jesus Christ receives a people into a holy union of spiritual matrimony, then they actually submit their body. Now, how is that? Then that these bodies are going to be a temple of the living God. So we submit and forfeit. This is why, friends, that so many folks get mad when you preach on clothes and about this and other. It's evident they're not born again. if they were born again, how could the Spirit of God in them defy Almighty God, which wrote His Word? Will preaching convert them? No. Will forums convert them? No. It's going to take a new birth. No, I don't expect people to comply to this just because you read a bunch of scriptures. Absolutely not. But if their name is on that Lamb's Book of Life, they'll be more than happy. That is their marriage certificate. They forfeited the power of their body. Oh, hallelujah. Now you remember even the Levites and the Nethiims and the different categories of people that were even more called out and more consecrated than the tribes were. And they even their life as far as the requirement to marriage and the requirement if a man was born a Levite in the right tribe and yet the man had a crooked back, that man could not go into the priest's office. If that man was bruised and that man had different birth defects in his body, he was not allowed to go into the presence of God and minister. Why? Because God was so picky. He's still picky today. Now, look, in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 24, but I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, talking about the Hittites and the Philistines and all them. I will give unto you to possess it, a land that flows of milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Now notice, this is not the people now trying to make themselves weird and strange. And Moses didn't get together and say, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make up a bunch of do's and don'ts and we're really going to be different. This is what I think ought to be. It was God who authored the separation. Ezra chapter 6 verse 21. Now several years have gone by, several different dispensations, and notice the children of Israel, what they've got into. The children of Israel shall come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek the Lord God of Israel. Now they come back and they go to having a revival. And notice what a revival does. It will always go to causing the people to separate from the world. Look at Ezra chapter 9 verse 1. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Church of... Don't you see, that's what Satan wants us to do. If they want to live like devils, let them do it. But they want to try to make us do it. I still got my free moral agency. I don't know about yours. And I'm going to live the way God's word declares for me to live. And ain't nobody going to make me feel bad about it, nor ashamed about it. I'm proud to be identified with His word. Notice, for they have taken of their daughters for themselves and their sons, the priests. The priests have taken of the Hittites and all these people for themselves. Why, let's show love. Let's show love. Let's reach out to them. That's not what God told them to do. So that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the prince and the rulers have been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, notice now this servant of God, how it affected him. I sat down and I drank me a glass of cold tea. And I wasn't worried about it because I knew God wasn't a respectful person. And I knew God had so much love for all the rest of them, it didn't bother me at all. Look how it affected this man. I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and my beard and sat down astonished. This tore this man to pieces because the people of God were tied up so much with the people around them. Marrying their daughters, giving their own marriage to the heathen, and they wasn't separating to the word. Well, why wasn't everybody just rejoicing? Because they're showing so much love. But this man sits down, he pulls hair out of his head, reaches up and grabs a hold of his beard, and jerks handful of beard out of his face. He is so smitten by the behavior of these supposed to be separated people. Oh, Lord Jesus. But notice in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 2, when revival strikes them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers. Revival always does that. Now what? They are coming into a separate, are they walking around, oh, we're better than you, we're the people of God, don't touch me, get away from me, I ain't got nothing to do with you. Is that their attitude? God can never bless that kind of attitude. But when they separate themselves, not by man-made, not by will worship, what I think and I think, but then just meet the simple demands of God's Word. And when they did, it moved their souls into a place of revival. When Ezra stood and read the Word, and the Bible said they made him a pulpit, and he stood there and read the Word, and the people didn't have nice padded pews like you. They didn't have carpet on the floor, but the Bible said they stood, and they stood for hours. And when Ezra read the Word, the people said, amen. And then Ezra read the Word and the people said, amen. And they sent Levites among them and they explained the Word. Oh my, the people was just rejoicing. And one of the first things you can tell about a true revival is the effect. It begins to separate the people of God from sin and the world. Any move that points you toward the world is Antichrist. Right. Notice in Luke chapter 6 verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you. Wow. You consider yourself blessed when folks hate you? Most of us don't. This is what Jesus says. And when they shall separate you from their company. My, my. And shall reproach you. And cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Now this ain't for your own ignorance or your own stupidity. This is for His sake. Now your separation comes with the real people of God, does it not? We've all been through it, we know that. Notice again in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 15. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? I can shake infidels' hands. I can talk to them. I talked to one not long ago. That used to be a message believer. Now, totally convinced there is no God. This individual told me he's more happy now than they've ever been in their life. Said, of course, you would think I'm a reprobate. But I'm happier than I've ever been. But he said, I know you well enough to know you'll never leave God. I about had a spell. I said, thank you, devil. So that's your opinion of me, is it, devil? The individual didn't mean it as a compliment. They meant it, you know, because I'm ignorant and stupid and I wasn't very smart and all that thing. But it's everything I could do to keep from cutting up right there in public. That's the way I want my testimony to be known down there in the regions of the lost. Oh, my. Now notice this verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now remember, the temple of God is not now the temple in Jerusalem, but now you're in the New Testament dispensation. So the temple of God is now their body. So the Holy Ghost is now indwelling in the presence of the people of God by His presence, and they are now the temple of God. And why would Paul approach it in this way? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? So Satan then would try to bring idolatry into the new house of God. So he did it in Jerusalem, and he did it in all the different times of Israel. So he's not stopping. So now he wants to bring idolatry, spiritual idolatry, into the new temple of God, which are the bodies of the saints of God. What communion, what association, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk. Listen, friends, what a privilege. I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. Hallelujah. And they shall be my people. He ain't going to come and go. He ain't going to make a yearly visit. Jesus ain't going to come on vacation and come and get in your body. But He said, I will take a permanent residence. Amen. Why? Because you have yielded to Him the power of your body. You've given Him the power of your body. You're not ashamed to dress the way He wants you to dress. If He said, don't do this, you don't do it. If He said, don't go there, you don't do it. So you've submitted the control, the lordship, not only of your soul, but of your body to Him. You've submitted the power of your will to Him. Lord, tell me what you want me to do, and I'll gladly do it with all of my heart. Wherefore, come out. You mean the New Testament under grace? When everything is free, 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 free. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye... No! Man, I thought God got saved in the New Testament. So here's the same nature from the Old Testament to the New, separate. I'll tell you one thing, when I think about it, it just about overwhelms me. But a being so meticulous, so perfect, so flawless, and that He would love me. There must be something in me that is something. There must be something in you that is really something. I know it ain't this. You understand? I know it ain't this. But for Him to be so meticulous, so picky, and all of that thing, and yet to look at us, Brother Chuck, and love us, and want to labor and spend years working on us to mold us, there must be something supernatural inside of our soul. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Condition. Reception. Condition. Reception. I'll not receive you because you accept me as Savior. Oh, here we go. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, which is to mark off from others by boundaries, to limit, to separate, to exclude, a disreputable, to appoint, set apart for some purpose, or set apart for marriage. We give up our maiden name. I'm no longer Miss Pentecost. And some of you used to be first free will and third free will and fourth free will. And some of you were Nazarenes and some of you were cigarette suckers and whiskey drinkers and all that sort of thing. But you forfeited that old maiden name of yours. Hallelujah. Well, I want to go there and I want to know that's not the real bride. The real bride wants to please Him. Oh my, Brother Donnie, it's difficult. Tell me about it. He didn't say it's going to be easy, but He said it'd be right and I'll be there to help you. Right. Now watch. So then the bride, He calls for the people of God, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, which is participate or officiating in things which are questionable, the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now this could not be done. The reception of Him receiving them could not be done until they separate themselves from the unclean. You understand? This is why, friends, that the bride is like any man and woman that are married, you know, and your friends, and you say, oh man, this is your last night of being single. My, they sound like, make it sound like you're going to prison. Of course, when some of y'all got married, maybe you did. I don't know, but. If it's a real godly wife or a real godly husband, it ain't prison. It ought to be a little heaven on earth. Praise the Lord. Oh, this is your last night of freedom. I hear these young guys back there in my office and they're ribbing the bridegroom to be, you know. Man, this is a boy. You're married after tonight. Oh boy, man, this is going on and that's going on. I said, wait a minute, boys. That ain't the way it is at all. But you realize, to many people, they look at separation. Oh my, I can't do this and I can't and I can't and I can't. But what about all you can do? We talk about a can't, a can't, a can't. But can I tell you a few things you can do? You can move into a realm that mortal men never are allowed to venture into. You can be separated from the things of the world, consecrated into the presence of God. You can live with Him on a daily basis. He'll heal you when you get sick. He'll lift you up when you get down. Think about all you can do. Don't just focus on the can'ts. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The fact of their being received by God is recognized as his children depended on their separation. If people never separate, God never receives them in this union. Now, in their mind, they're confessing they're there. But don't just look at what you say. Look at what he says. Now, this is his way. He cannot change it in this day. Now, notice verse 18. As it moves into the next realm, now they are going to be received by separation. So the separation leads to what? Consecration. So God says, come out from among them. You've got saved now and you've joined the church or whatever comes of the message, whatever it is. But don't stop there. Come out from among them and move deeper into me and I will receive you. Next stage, verse 18. And will be a father unto you and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So you mean they do not become sons and daughters just by the initial stage of leaving the world and come to him? They're on their way. But if they do not come on, how can he ever accept them? He cannot, friends. If you and I want a deeper walk with God, it must be separation and consecration. He wants us to be different from the world, look different from the world, act different from the world. But yet people don't want to separate themselves. Of course, that's choice. Their choice if they want to live however they want to act out the world. Look, that's totally up to them. Any of you want to do that, that's totally up to you. But you won't be in the bride. The bride is sanctified, set aside, and consecrated into a life of surrender. She submitted the power of her body to her husband. And her husband says, don't cut your hair. She says, okay. Her husband says, don't put on that mascara. She says, okay. Her husband says, don't put on your husband's breeches. And she says, I don't know if y'all was thinking about it or praying about it or what. Why? She surrendered the power of her body. You understand, church? This is why he will raise everyone. Amen. Everyone that has died in Christ and surrendered the power of their body, he will raise them in a new body. But the sinners that refuse and the church people that refuse him will be raised to be judged in the same body that they sinned in. Why? They never gave the power of their body to the Lord. And there they will stand in the very same body, and then they'll answer for all the clothes they wore that was ungodly, all the words they said that was ungodly. Their own body will witness against them, but the bride will stand there. Praise God. She will stand there in a young body, 18 years old, not a gray hair, not a wrinkle. Why? She submitted the power of her body in this world, and he took that body and changed it. Oh, Lord. So which would you rather do? You want to keep the power of your body and dress however you want to dress and live however you want to live and do whatever you want to do and raise yourself up? Or give the power of your body. Any husbands dislike certain colognes that your wife bought? Or certain clothes that she bought? And you say, honey, I don't like that dress. Oh my Lord, everybody went total silence. Only the unmarried said amen. But you know what? It works the same way. If I pick out a shirt and Carol said, don't wear that again. I said, okay. I'll see if Lance wants it or Scotty. They don't want it, I'll take it to Goodwill. I made a trip this morning, actually. You know why? Because she has power over my body. So if I give my power of my body over to the Lord Jesus, then if demon-possessed people walk up in front of me, people walk up in front of me as a servant of God that are sick, afflicted, whatever,
I've got power in his body. Don't let that choke you. I don't know what you think lives in you, but deity lives in me. I ain't got no third rate Holy Ghost. I got the same Holy Ghost Peter had. I got the same Holy Ghost Brother Branham had, and he does the same stuff. Praise the Lord. Don't you see? He wants to make his power. He wants to make his ability. You give me your body, I'll give you mine. You give me complete control of you, I'll baptize you into my body, and I will give you my dunamis. It's not a one-sided thing, my friend. So if we need power to cast out devils, I ain't got that power, but I have got power in his body as a servant of God. Come on, say amen. You've got power not only to get baptized and power to repent, but you got power to live right. You got power, amen. You got power to overcome the evil of this day. Why? Where's that power come from? Yourself? Of course not. You've submitted your body to him. He submits his power to you. Watch this. We are not only a people of separation, but we are a people of inheritance. Amen. Exodus 34:9, and he said, if I have now found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people. Pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. Deuteronomy 4:20, but the Lord hath taken you, and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Deuteronomy 9:26, I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Don't you understand? We are his inheritance. Jesus come to this world, laughed at, made fun of, ridiculed. And what did God give him? Me. You. God gave him, Brother Harvey, us. We are his inheritance. Oh, I know you may think he got shortchanged, but not in his view. He couldn't have asked for anything better. You might have been almighty and wanted a star or world wide and still been alone. He knows what it was like to dwell with stars and worlds and dwell alone. He could not have received a greater inheritance than receiving his church. Amen. Deuteronomy 9:29, yet they are thy people and thine inheritance which thou brought us out of the mighty power and by thy stretched out arm. Deuteronomy 32:9, for the Lord's portion is his people. Lord Jesus, the Lord's portion is his people. Do you understand his joy? His reason of being. His purpose of being. I give him something to live for. We get in our minds, we're trouble, we're heartaches, we're headaches. That is true on one side. But you're only looking on the timeline. Let's look over on the other side. He said, I don't want another world. I don't want worlds without end. But I want my portion to be my children. I want my portion to be my elect. They will give me their body. I will give them mine. They will be part of me. Don't you understand, friends, why he loves to come among us and worship and display his power? That's him giving us himself. The word, oh, how we love the word and appreciate the word. That ain't all the service. Just when we hear the word, don't you understand why sometimes I want you to hang around a little bit and stay around a little bit? Why? So he can give us of himself. So he can bring his person among us, his presence among us. Amen. And he's saying, you give me yourself. Now let me give you myself. Let me overwhelm you. Let me awe you in my presence. This is me, children. This is me. Oh, praise the Lord. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance
in the saints. His inheritance in the saints. We are also a special people. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 6. For thou art a holy people to the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth. You mean God can do this? And it's just. Really? We are a purchased people. Exodus 15:16. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as stone till thy people pass over, O Lord. To the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Psalm 74:2. Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old. The rod of thine inheritance. Which thou hast redeemed this Mount Zion wherein thou hast dwelt. We know Zion of the Old Testament is the bride of the new. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. To feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If your body belongs to God, then you ain't got no choice to say, well, I want to wear this. I want to look like that. You need to go to your owner and ask him. Praise the Lord. And if you're a bride, you will. And be so happy to do it. My, you won't growl and complain. You'll be so tickled. You say, Lord, my cup's running over and I'm drinking plum out of the saucer. And my saucer run over, Lord, it's running up on the table. I'm lapping it off the table like a dog. My Lord, it's running everywhere. Jesus, you'd like to back off a little bit. You give me so much revelation and so much joy and so much peace and so much power. Lord, you'd like to back off a little bit. Hallelujah. Why? That's who you are. You know your position in Christ. The more you give to him, the more you'll give back. And the more you keep, the less he'll give to you. We're also a redeemed people. Exodus 15:13. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth thy people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel whom thou hast redeemed. And lay not innocent blood unto the people of Israel's charge. And the blood shall be forgiven them. Luke 1:68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. For he hath visited and redeemed his people. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Let's look at one more before we close. We are also a holy people. Deuteronomy 14:2, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Chapter 26, verse 16. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do the statutes and the judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart, with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee. Notice, they're entering into a covenant. Entering into a covenant. You said this, you said this, you said this, God said this, God said that, God said that. Right? The Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people. As he hath promised thee that thou shouldest keep all of his commandments. My. And to make thee high above all nations which he hath made. In praise and in name and in honor. That thou mayest be a holy people. Unto the Lord thy God as he has spoken. Chapter 28, verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep his commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Let's read one in the New Testament. We'll close. 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust and your ignorance. Look at this word, fashioning. Conform to. Fashion oneself according to conform to oneself, one's mind and character, to another's pattern. So what do fashions do? A girl which may not have the intention of being wrong goes into a modern day dress shop or wherever. She buys a worldly fashion. She has been shaped into the image of that fashion. Well, praise the Lord. Look at the meaning of the word. Don't argue with me. To another's pattern. Fashion oneself according. To shape one thing like another, and describes what is transitionary, changeable, and unstable. So to be fashioning ourselves will be to take on the things of the world. And when we do, which is more acceptable to take on a fashion of the world because we think it's watered down, but to take on a fashion of the world is to be conformed to the image of that fashion. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. Let's stand. Oh my, let's read this scripture that we opened up with again, Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. The word peculiar is that which is one's own, belonging to one's possessions. A people selected by God from the other nations for his own possession. So you mean this is a New Testament teaching as well as an Old Testament teaching? Why? This is God. This is God's heart. Praise God. Notice. Purify unto himself a peculiar people. Zealous of good works. Look at this word. Zelotes. This is the Greek word that they used after the time of the Maccabee revolt. It uses to describe what was called from that time on, for many, many years thereafter, as zealots. Zealots. It's what Barabbas was. Zealot. Look at the meaning of this word. One burning with zeal. Now notice what God's going to do. He's going to purify unto himself a peculiar people that are zealous of good works. Burning with zeal. A zealot. Used of God as jealous of any rival, sternly vindicating his control. Most eagerly desirous of, zealous for, a thing, to acquire a thing, to defend, uphold. I'm zealous of this word, friends. I'm zealous of this message. I'm not an onlooker. I'm not somebody that can just sit and cross my arm. Well, I wish they wouldn't say it. Oh, no. When God anoints me, I'm going to blaze out like a thunderbolt. Now, if he don't, I'll hold my peace. But I am a spiritual zealot. Right. So he's going to purify people, a peculiar people, that are zealous, not of money, of riches, fame, fortune, but they're going to burn with zeal for good works. It's going to burn them up. They can't stand it. They're going to do good things.
How many wants to be a zealot? A peculiar people. Why does he demand that we dress a certain way and look a certain way and do a certain thing? Because we're his wife. Now, if any of you brothers come to my wife after church and say, Sister Carol, I do not like that navy blue top you wore tonight. I just don't care for that color. Carol's a very nice person. She probably won't say anything to you. She'll probably just smile and her face will turn red. But you might as well tell this bottle of Gatorade. Because whether or not you like it, don't really matter. The world and the pickers and all this. I don't like it. I don't like that. That don't really matter to us. To us, it's just chatter, chatter, chatter. Chatter, 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 chatter. I guarantee one thing, if the NSA is spying on all this message stuff that's going on, they're probably having a time. But what is it to a real eagle? He just sits there and pulls his wings back. Looks at his wings. After a while, he gets tired of it. Tatter, 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 tatter. Brother Branham was a man. Tatter, tatter, tatter. We already knew that. Brother Branham was a human being. Tatter, tatter, tatter. We already knew that too. I can't prove this and I can't prove that. Neither can I prove there is a God. Chatter, 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 chatter. As far as scientifically. All I know is there's somebody been with me all of my life. I see his hand everywhere I go. Oh, glory! Well, you say it's your imagination. Man, I didn't realize my imagination could create. I didn't realize my imagination could heal the sick. I didn't realize my imagination could deliver those that are bound. It ain't my imagination. Last Wednesday night out in the vestibule, the Lord come down with simple prayers of some of the brothers and delivered somebody standing there bound by cigarettes. Was that your imagination? Delivered them right there in the vestibule. What is it that comes among us and warms our heart? Our imagination? Our imagination, we cast it down. It ain't imagination, it's His presence. Hallelujah. I love Him, don't you? Praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight, Father. We are so grateful that we can be included in the great, 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 great program of God. Let the world ridicule. Let people laugh and make fun. I'm just so proud that the devil identifies me as being a message preacher. I count it an honor, all these forms and all these websites and all these devils out of hell, anointing people to lie and say all kinds of things. I'm so happy that they're identifying me with God's prophet. Many of them have made their claim to fame by running him down. What a terrible thing. Many of them are more zealous against the message than they ever were for it, which is a mystery to me. But Lord Jesus, we desire to be zealous of good works. We don't desire judgment on no one. I pray for all those, Lord. May you have mercy on them. May you help them. We don't know how many more is left out here, dear God, that's yet to be saved. Well, we pray. May your presence reach to yours. We know the world itself is too far gone for redemption. She turned it down in 1956. The 50th Jubilee after the Holy Ghost came on Azusa Street. So it was not a year of the nation receiving freedom. It was a year that the nation received her ear, bored with an awl. And the nation herself would never hear it again. But Lord, we thank you that you're still dealing with individuals. May your presence, I pray, help each of us. I pray, Lord, that we would be enlightened as we study the Word and look into the Word. But Lord Jesus, we desire to know you, the person also in a greater way. I don't want to just know your scriptures, know your word. Since a little boy, I felt your presence near me, seen your presence visibly, seen angels, all kinds of supernatural things. For that, I'm grateful. But yet, Lord God, that's not what I serve. I thank you for God's prophet. He's not the one who redeemed me. Not one drop of his blood could do anything for me. It was your blood, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord. Keep us true. Keep us faithful. Help us to be a people that are in this world, but are not of it, Lord. I understand many will not embrace this. I understand that many will laugh and ridicule and make fun. We just pray for them, Lord. We just pray you'd help them, dear God. But for those of us that it's been revealed to, may we stand like never before. I give to you the power of my body. I give to you my will. You know me better than anybody. You know me as a human. I'm a coward. As a human, I don't like preaching things that's going to run people away from me. These people don't really know me. They think they do. People that think I'm hard and all that, it's because they don't really know me. You know me. You know each of us. So search our hearts. Look deep inside of us, Lord Jesus. Make us a peculiar people. A separated people. So that we can be consecrated unto you. I give you the power of my body. So I commit my body to your charge. If I go by the way of the grave, I'll not worry. If I lay there long enough till the flesh falls off my bones break up and decompose, go back to the dust of the earth. The acids, the chemicals, the ashes. There's nothing left in the casket. I committed my body to you. You'll speak and I'll have another one. Praise God. We love you, our husband. Tell us what you want in our home. This is your home and our home that we're trying to make. Tell us what you want. How do you want your home run, our dear husband? How do you want your wife to dress? How do you want her to talk? How do you want her to behave? Tell us. We'll do it. We're your wife. Oh, praise God. Praise God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of our husband? I want you to look at yourself. I'm going to let you go. I know your kids have got school tomorrow and all that. But I want you to look at yourself. Have you separated yourself from the world and consecrated yourself unto Him? And then after that separation, then He can say, I'll receive you. You'll be my sons and daughters. I'll be your God, saith the Lord Almighty. Or is He still waiting on you? He's waiting on you to bring separation before He will accept you into His court. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that when God would deal with Brother Branham, before the seven seals come and the angels come down, and the Lord told him, consecrate yourself for the visitation of these angels. These men that he was with was not sinners. They were not devils and liars. It was message men. But he needed to consecrate himself away from them into the presence of God to prepare for the visitation of the seven angels. I believe His presence would be among us in a greater way if we would only consecrate ourselves to His presence. We love one another. That's well and good. But being with one another won't bring His presence. It's been consecrated to Him. You husbands and wives, ever feel like you need a renewing of yourself and you just need to go out for supper one night or dinner one night, whatever, and just have a little time away from the kids and away from all the troubles and whatever. Just feel like you need some time together. That's the way the Lord wants us to feel about Him. That we just need time with Him. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just give Him just a few minutes before we go. Hallelujah.
Lord God, I've given you my body tonight. I've studied, I've tried to present what I feel you placed on my heart, the gift that you placed in my life. I've tried to move out of the way that you'd speak through me. I've given you my body. Now, Lord, I pray, may your presence minister to the needs of your children. Comfort those that are weary. Heal those that are sick. May we have access into your presence, Lord. Praise be to God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Let's just worship him a little. Harry, sing something for us. Let's just worship him just a little before we go. Oh, he's worthy, children. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's your husband. He's the man of your life. The man of your home. Your head. Your king. Your redeemer. Your Goel. He's your Boaz. And you are his Ruth. You're his possession. His inheritance. What he longs for. What he longs to see. He longs to touch you. He longs to look at you in the face. Take his precious hand and run down your cheek. And rub the tears out of your eyes. Can you imagine Jesus desiring to touch you in your glorified body? Jesus wanting to walk down that table set thousands of miles long. And take his dear loving hand. And rub the tears out of your eyes, and you're sitting there seated, and him standing there by your side, and you look up at him, and you're so overwhelmed, you can't hardly say nothing, and you're just sitting there, the tears trickling out of your eyes. And he takes that precious hand and says, don't cry no more. It's all over. It's all over. He loves you. He loves you. You are his possession. His inheritance.
I know my Redeemer lives.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
I know.
Do you know it tonight?
My Redeemer.
I know.
Let all creation.
Yes, Lord God.
Testify. Let his life. Within me, my Redeemer.
Everybody, oh glory!
Yes, I know.
Are you glad you know?
My Redeemer lives.
Harold texted me this evening and said he was really sick, wasn't able to be in church tonight. We believe God can move for him right now. Let's pray for him. Maybe you got a need or request in your heart. You just hold it right there too. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for Brother Darrell right now, Lord Jesus. You see him unable to be in church tonight, Lord. He said he just felt so bad. Out in the service of the King, preaching the word. Lord God, he said he'd be viewing this service tonight in his bed because he wouldn't be able to sit up. But I pray the Holy Ghost would go right now to where our brother is. Whether he's sitting in a recliner or laying down, makes no difference to you. May the presence of God move for him now, Lord. Heavenly Father, other people uplifted their hand tonight. They had a need or request. Lord Jesus, may your presence go right among us. We give our body to you. We give our will to you. Now, Lord Jesus, would you give your healing back to us? Would you give your deliverance back to us? For we are married to you. And a marriage, no true marriage, is one-sided. But we know, Lord, oh, Father, you love us. We are your inheritance. Move for your people, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Pray for the meeting this week with Brother Paul of Fontaines. Brother Tim Burdett will be here this weekend, so I know you'll have a great time with him. I love you in the Lord. God bless you. Let's sing it together as we go. I know my Redeemer.